Hello, and welcome to Boss Madle, where I sit down and get real with some pretty amazing, creative women entrepreneurs. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and get ready to be inspired. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 8th episode of Boss Madle. I hope you all had a beautiful Passover. I had a really nice time in Israel. I just came back last night, and I'm jet lagged and guzzling coffee like crazy. But I can't complain. It's so great to be home. And I have a wonderful interview coming your way. Today, I sit down with Zelda Volkov, who is the founder of Zelda Hair. And we talk about her business, her life, and everything in between. And Zelda shared a really interesting idea when we were talking about, you know, how she was motivated to start her business. And she said that a lot of the time, we are held back by our own fears and our own self-doubt. And I think this is so true, especially as women, you know, our inner critic and negative self-talk is very prevalent. So I found a beautiful quote to kind of inspire us to work against it. And it's by Beverly Engel. And she says, "Turn down the volume of your negative inner voice and create a nurturing inner voice to take its place. When you make a mistake, forgive yourself, learn from it, and move on instead of obsessing about it." And I just love that. And yes, hopefully that will all help us to try to be a little kinder to ourselves and a little more adventurous and try something new. So without further ado, let me introduce Zelda. Zelda Volkov is the founder of Zelda Hair, a company that produces and sells natural-looking and super comfortable wigs with non-processed hair. Zelda is passionate about helping every woman look and feel her best. Her work has been featured in Marie Claire, and her wigs are worn by numerous style influencers, as well as Orthodox women looking for chic, natural-looking wigs. Zelda, welcome to the show. Hi, Zelda. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much.
It's so great to have you here. And I want to start with our very first question, the usual. Can you take us back a bit and tell us how you started your business?
Yes, absolutely. I started the business about 5.5 years ago, and I was, at the time, I was married, and I just had my second daughter, and I was just really not feeling my wig situation, my hair. I wasn't feeling myself. I wasn't feeling good. I never really had positive experiences wig shopping or wearing wigs, and my relationship with wigs were pretty negative.
I'm sure many women can feel the same, or did feel the same until you came along.
I hope so. But yeah, it was just like not something that I ever felt good about. I never, you know, felt myself. That's really the bottom line. I never really got a wig that looked like my hair or felt like my hair. And my parents are Russian. So I've been to Ukraine before, and I knew that that's where really good hair is sourced and manufactured. And so, like, I have, like, we, you know, growing up in a Russian home, we've had lots of friends pass through our home every year from Ukraine and Russia. So I built, you know, these friendships and connections, and I reached out to some of them, you know, like, you know, to help me out, you know, just really, this wasn't business oriented. It was just for myself to really make myself a good wig.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then as soon as I realized that, I mean, I started establishing, you know, sources and people and connections. And I made myself a wig, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. I feel amazing. You know, I honestly just felt like I was wearing my own hair. I made my mother one, my aunt. And then slowly I was like, I'm not going to just do, you know, this little side thing. Like, that was never my personality. Like, if I'm doing something, I'm doing it all the way.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, exactly. That's just like, or else I have no motivation for it.
Right.
My motivation stems from doing it like exactly how I envision it. So I was like, okay, I'll make it into a business. And I got an investor. I, you know, wrote up a business plan. I did it, you know, I started marketing it before I even had any wigs. Like, I already had a brand. You know, I felt like that's really the goal here, was to make it into a brand more than just a wig, make it into a story. And that's really how I started. And I started at home. I transformed one of my bedrooms into a little studio salon. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years of running it from home alone, I opened the shop, which now is open for over 3 years. And I really, like, my little studio salon was identical to my store. Like, it was just obviously a smaller scale. But like nothing about it was like, oh, a little room in the house. Like I always wanted it to be like brand, you know, on target, on brand. Yeah, that's really how I started. I brought in employees, I brought in people, and looking back, I'm like, I can't believe I ever did this alone. Like, I don't know what I would do without my team, you know? But yeah.
Sure. So you know, you mentioned building a brand. So that obviously was a key component, you know, in differentiating yourself between other Shato companies in the market. I know you're very active about getting influencers also to really wear your wigs, not just post, but that you're able to see them, wear them on a day-to-day basis, which I think is really important.
Yeah.
If you see a model or mannequin, you know, that's great. But a real woman, that's a whole level.
Exactly. So at first, I was into photo shoots. Mm-hmm. Just began. I wanted it to be very professional. I wanted it to be taken seriously. So I spent a lot of money on doing real professional high-end photo shoots. Mm-hmm. But then something about it just didn't talk to me. I just felt like, yes, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful model. It's a beautiful wig. It looks real. It looks natural. But it didn't say the story. It didn't, you know, really share what I was trying to portray. And then when I started collaborating with influencers, that to me was a real game changer, because they wear it because they want to wear it and because they choose to wear it.
True.
And I don't pay my influencers or collaborators. I'm very also into authentic and real collaborations. Like, I want you to wear the Zelda if that's really what you want to be wearing. Not because you're getting paid to do so. So I've never done that with my influencers and the representatives that wear it.
Right.
I feel like that's also very important in the way they share it, because in addition, I feel like a lot of brands sometimes they're very focused on what they want out of the collaboration, but they make it very rigid. They make the contracts very rigid and not fluid for the person they're collaborating with. And I think a key component to a really fruitful collaboration is when each collaborator does it their own. And that's what's beautiful, because each of them have their own audience that loves them for who they are. So you want them to incorporate it with however natural it is for them.
Correct. They have their own style, their own point of view. It's really great to see that. So, I mean, did you see a certain lack in Shato's when you started in terms of wearability, comfort, style? You know, is there particular mistakes that you see are repeated often in the Shato industry?
So when I began, I mean, the style was very different. Like even the factories, like I have to tell them that they've been making wigs for years and years. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, no, I don't want any of my wigs to be made this way or that way. Most of it were made with a lot of layers.
Okay.
I think actually I was probably one of the first brands to really not make wigs without any layers. Like, this is
brilliant.
Like almost 6 years ago, layers were very prevalent.
Yes, like those big beach waves with the hairspray.
Yeah, just steps also. Yes. And honestly, it's the cheapest way to make a wig, because when you have a really long wig and it has tons of layers, there's not a lot of long hair in the wig, even though it looks really long, like just from, you know, the overall length, but there's a lot of short hair. So it's definitely more cost efficient to do it that way. But I felt like it just made the wig look so wiggy, because naturally you walk down the street, you're going to the supermarket, going to buy bread and milk, you're not seeing anybody with, you know, va-va-voom. You're seeing pretty sleeker, you know, more like just less hair, less. You know, less is better in that sense in terms of a wig. So so I felt like that was one of the big changes that I've seen in the wig industry. Also making it flatter, not so top heavy. Those would be really the two key differences.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, you know, when you started, you said you really wrote your own business plan. You kind of figured this out on your own. Was there a particular fear or challenge that you were able to overcome when starting your business? And I'm sure there were many, but is there one that stands out in particular?
So it's funny, because I actually didn't have any fears when I...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's so weird, because looking back, I'm like, oh my goodness, how was I not afraid of this? Like, I should have been afraid of this. This is just happening now. Like, why didn't I think about that? So when I started it was kind of naive and just like this, like, blind faith, or this, like, I was just so passionate and believed so much in what I was doing how I felt about it. I knew that women would love it. So I didn't have any fears. And then I remember I didn't tell anyone. I was just like kind of doing it. My husband at the time was very supportive, and we really worked, you know, in this regard as a team.
Right.
I think that probably helped a lot as well. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I was telling my friend, like for the first time I was sharing, I was like, oh, by the way, you know, I'm going to start this wig brand. And it was already like in the works. Like, it wasn't like I was asking what she thought about it, like whether or not I should do it. I was just telling her. And that was the first time I got like this wave of like, oh no, like maybe this, you know, like that was the first time I got doubt. She was like, why would anybody buy your wig? Like, you don't know anything about wigs. I feel like I was just very passionate about it, and I just went with that, you know? And I think that's what's very important. I feel like most of the time we are held back by our fears or our self-doubt. And believing in yourself or whatever, this is what really works for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I believe in something, I realize that whatever I do have and whatever anything that I've created or done or achieved is a direct result of believing in myself. And like, just
absolutely
that, you know, having that belief and knowledge and confidence is really the way to achieve. And sure. Obviously it has to come with action and visualizing it and, you know, like a whole bunch of other steps, but it starts with believing. And I think that that's what I had, and that's why I was able to do it.
Right. I think sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And our inner critic sometimes can be the strongest. So if you can, you know, avoid that and fill yourself with positivity, that's already, you know, half the work, I think.
Right. It's so true. And it's sometimes it's very, you know, we have fears that are super rational. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like sometimes you have to take a lot of risk. And
sure.
I feel like if we go that drive of our passion and our belief, that's where we could really be successful.
Sure. So now, you know, it seems like you are very positive, you know, but have you ever faced any criticism, or do you ever have, you know, an inner voice that kind of, you know, criticizes you? And as women, we all tend to have some of that. And what kind of advice would you give to women about, you know, working through it?
I definitely have loads of that. definitely a lot of guilt. First of all, being a working mother, I would say is like probably the biggest source of my guilt, you know, the feelings that I feel. But I would say that a lot of most recently, like I could say overall, or I could just talk about my most recent journey.
Sure.
Really has been, I would say, with my divorce, mm-hmm. And my feelings associated with the wig, because I feel I was struggling with this part of me that was like, I have a business, I should wear a wig regardless of how I feel. You know, I'm representing a wig brand. And then the other voice, stronger voice, was, you know, telling myself, like, I don't feel like I have to wear a wig. Rabbis are telling me I don't have to wear a wig. Most importantly, I don't feel connected to the idea of a wig because I'm not married, you know, and this struggle of like, is it good for business? Is it bad for business? And so that to me was like the most, struggling thing that I've been dealing with. And I realized that I had the answer within me all along. And the answer was that I always have to go with my gut and what's real and authentic for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And even though sometimes things could be like, oh wait, but this is like a bad business decision. And I realized I never started this company from like a business drive. It was always a passion. And I understand that I could make the best wigs, and I could be so passionate about the beauty of the hair and the wigs and helping women, and not wear it myself right now, because that's not what's true and real and authentic to me. And I feel like the women that connect with me and my story and the women that I get to connect with will appreciate that about being real and authentic.
Oh, so that, I love that. Yes. That's
where like my struggles that I've been dealing with recently have been, but I have loads of others in terms of being a mother and working too much and, you know, dealing with that. But
sure.
Yeah, I feel like women, we're always so hard on ourselves because we put so much pressure, you know, on being everything that we can be in every part of our life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I love that answer and I really appreciate your honesty. And I think that's why, you know, initially I was drawn to interviewing you with, I said, okay, this girl has this authentic narrative going on here and I want to be a part of it. I want to know, you know, how she does it. It takes a lot of guts, but people really appreciate it, I think, especially on social media.
Right. It's exactly because social media is so saturated with a lot of fakeness that you really have to like do a lot of searching.
Yeah.
But I would say that I was met with a lot of criticism. A lot of people don't necessarily understand, or they're very, you know, a lot of like fear inducing feelings like, oh no, like what is she going to say? What is he going to say? What, you know, people. And I feel like in general with religion and with God, with Hashem, I feel like it's so important to be real and authentic. Because at the end of the day, that is what religion is. It's about a relationship between a person and Hashem. And you cannot force, you cannot coerce, you cannot, you know, pressure a relationship. It has to be organic. It has to be natural. So yes. I feel like that's, you know, that's something that I find tremendous passion and meaning and purpose in when I do work with WIGS, with religious women, even though I have a lot of not Jewish, not religious women that come from all over the world. You know, that need a wig for whatever reason, mm-hmm. Obviously the religious Orthodox women have always been my driving force and really what makes me, you know, the happiest. But again, like I had to find it within, you know, it took a while is what I mean. Yeah. Like it didn't come easy and I had to really like sit with my truth.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of women go on a journey as they get older, especially if you were born and raised in an Orthodox family. It's not something that I chose. I was just born into it. And, you know, I was raised in a school where, you know, you kind of think of God as if you do good, you know, God will reward you. If you don't, you get punished. God is so much more than that. God is so much more kinder. And it's you know, the picture we're given is not the full picture.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that tremendously. And I feel like it's so important, especially as mothers, to realize mm-hmm. that our children, because, you know, the way we're raised, you know, that's kind of past. Obviously, we have to, like, in order to be who we are today, we have to work backwards and we have to, like, understand where we came from. But I feel like going forward as a mother, like, that's how I feel, is that my daughters, they're not an extension of myself. Mm-hmm. Like, not like if they choose not to say a bracha on their food, it's not something personally against me. That's something that we want them to be a certain way because we feel that that is the truth. And obviously, as a mother of children, when they're under a certain age, you guide them and you channel them. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that whether they choose to be super religious or they choose not to be, you know, like a lot of people take credit. Like, oh, all my children are religious. Like, I must have been a phenomenal human being, which is just simply inaccurate. But, and I feel like that's the truth. And because of the way we're raised, we kind of like have this idea of, oh, like I have to be a certain way because my parents expect that, my community expects that. But that's not the real authentic Judaism where we feel like we are an extension of something or somebody. Of course, we're part of a community and communities have rules, but we have to live our own path and our journey to really get to the best of ourselves.
Yes. Listeners cannot see this, but I am nodding and nodding. I couldn't agree more. Okay. I think every woman has to find their own passionate journey in religion because you know what? It can be a difficult lifestyle, and to just do it because you have to, or you're forced to, or you feel that social pressure, it's not feasible. It really isn't.
It's not feasible, and it doesn't serve us at a certain point.
Correct.
Has served us till a certain point, and then we feel like we need to be liberated from our own thoughts and feelings. And it doesn't mean that someone decides not to be religious. It just means that whatever they do, they need to do with intention.
Yes, yes, and a joy and a purpose.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, talking about motherhood, how has motherhood changed you? And when I ask this, everyone always laughs because it's, you know, motherhood changes you in so many ways.
Right.
But, you know, what are some key points?
I would say like the most mm-hmm. Has changed me would be really with my patience. Like I've never been a patient person whatsoever. Like I'm like ADD, like a million thoughts a minute. Yeah. And just like, and I realized, you know, when you have three little rascals talking to you at the same time, fetching, whining, crying, all while it just like, it really taught me patience. But I must say, and I really feel like it's necessary to understand this, that as I have been on like my own journey of like really living the most authentic life that I have found for myself, and it's still a process and it's still fluid and it's still, you know, it's going to be forever until the day we die.
Sure,
but
sure.
As I'm living much with much more intention and positive, like, you know, my own self-searching, mm-hmm. I've become much more patient because I've realized that like everything I do, I'm doing because that's what I feel is right. And that's what my relationship with God tells me is right. And that's really what I want to be doing. And that includes being a mother and it includes my relationship with each one of my children. So I can't stress how important it is to really find, you know, within ourselves that inner meaning and drive. But definitely being a mother, patience, I would say, would be the number one.
We can all relate. Yes, totally. So, you know, being a working mom, it is obviously crucial to take some time out to practice self-care. What does that look like for you?
So I must say that when I was working and married, I didn't really give myself any, you know, time for like myself. I was trying to be the best wife, the best mother, the best, you know, boss running the business. And it was all, it was a lot. And I wasn't doing well. And it was just like tons going on, no time for myself. But I would say that since I got divorced and my custody situation is really amazing, and me and my ex-husband have a really amicable and really good working relationship.
Happening. Wow, that's inspiring.
Yeah, with our children, like being our priority, it does give me time to, you know, to, so obviously I understand that this is not the conventional, normal situation. You know, a lot of people are married, you know, but I would say that because I have time away from my children because of my divorce, I have time to give myself TLC, you know.
Sure. And what do you like to do? Do you like to exercise or go to the movies or what, you know, what would it look like for you?
So I definitely love to exercise, but I love to dance. So
that's nice.
Like my real exciting passion. And I take dance classes and I try to deal with that. And that really just releases all my stress. And that's truly my love.
That's great. So is there a common myth about motherhood and work and being a woman, you know, that you wish to dispel? Although you've really been honest, you've talked a lot about it. But is there something that you see in the woman's world that you're like, I wish someone would just be open about this?
So I feel like being a working woman or even just a mother in general, I feel like we put a lot of pressure to be the perfect mother, the perfect wife, the perfect working person, you know, in your work life. Perfect community member, friend, like just, we want to be 100% everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we, you know, we can, but we could also completely lose ourselves in the process and just not be healthy mentally, emotionally. So I think it's important to realize that you are still amazing at everything that you do, even if you say, I can't do this right now. You know, that's not something I can do right now. Saying no, choosing being at home and not taking on that big project, or taking on that big project and saying right now, you know, I'm not going to be home. But whatever you do, do it because that's where you feel you're needed, or, you know, but not doing everything. Someone said to me, like, you can't do everything at 100% and you can't do everything at 50%, meaning then you're not doing a good job. If you're going to be a 50% mother, 50% house, you're not doing it. But what you could do is, some of the time you're 100% mother, mm-hmm. some of the time you're 100% at work. And then you could divide that time however you see necessary. But whatever you're doing, you should be giving 100%.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. I think someone once said, you can have it all, just not all at once.
Yeah, and that's so true.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great one. So, you know, what is the most rewarding part of your job? We talked a lot about the challenges and struggles, but I'm sure there are some pretty fabulous moments as well.
So, I mean, the most exciting moments for me have always, I think will always be when women just love their wigs. Like that moment where, especially if they have like negative experiences prior, but even if it's their first experience, like particularly brides, like that will always be the best feeling, like this euphoric feeling where you know, she'll come in with her hair and leave with a wig and it just looks the same or makes her feel the same.
Right.
Always experiences where women have literally just been so emotional and cried on the chairs where they're felt like, and exactly how I felt when I put on my wig and it made me feel like myself again. Because the hair, I feel like so much of, you know, a wig and hair is a huge part of our entire identity. Because, I mean, it sounds vain, but it's so not. Because I feel like it's such a big part of how we look.
It's the first impression that you give off to people.
Yeah, but it's the first impression. And also, I feel like it's so connecting to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone changes their haircut, they almost look like a different person.
Yes, and that's true.
Not because of the way they look. It's just like, it almost like changes so much about someone, you know?
Right.
So it's very special that I get to do that and make someone feel good about this, especially being that it's such an incredible mitzvah as well.
Right. Right.
I always say that it's amazing that I'm able to combine the artistic part of me as well as this incredible mitzvah.
Yeah, that's truly amazing. I never thought of it that way, but yeah, you're constantly, you know, involved in a mitzvah, which is really special. Yeah. So what advice would you give someone who is just starting out in a business? And it doesn't have to be particularly your business, but, you know, were there some tips and lessons you learned along the way that you could offer our listeners?
So first of all, like I said at the beginning, I would say really try to push away the self-doubt, you know, if you have any, like, because you really, I feel like everyone, if they have an idea, if they have a passion, you know, go with that. You have that for a reason and go with that. I would say with a business, use social media to, you know, to the most extent that you can,
because
I would say without Instagram, I have no business. So I truly, you know, give all the credit to social media.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also say probably, in terms of just like business-wise, mm-hmm. I would say getting an investor is probably a really good idea, because sometimes when you use your own money, you think a million times more and you don't get to really objectively make decisions that could be really good decisions. But because, you know, there's a lot at stake, which obviously you're supposed to be very, you know, rational when it comes to an investor's money as well. But I think that it takes away a little bit of that, of that thing that holds you back.
Right.
So I feel like that's...
That fear.
That's, yeah.
I love that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So Zelda, we are down to our round of quick questions. This is where I fire some of your favorites at you. Are you ready?
Sure, yes.
Okay, great. And then feel free to skip any or add any, you know, we kind of played this by ear. So do you have a favorite book?
I wouldn't say that I have a favorite book.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the thing.
Favorite author or blog or website or just something that you kind of enjoy?
So I would say that, I mean, I'm very into self-awareness and self-help and self-care.
Okay.
And one particular book that I'm very into, it's called Codependence. It's a whole nother topic, but it's called Codependence No More.
Okay.
It's something that really helped me just learn about myself. And that journey of just becoming the best version of myself. So.
Okay, and I love all the stuff. So I will find out the author and I will post it on the show notes.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite easy dinner?
Yes, my go-to favorite easy dinner is salmon, honey mustard. I literally just put old-fashioned mustard, honey, mix it together, sliced fresh garlic and cilantro, and just rub it all over the salmon, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And my kids are, thankfully, I am blessed that they are not very picky. So,
you are so lucky. You don't even know.
I was at Russ and Daughters on Shabbos morning with my daughters, and my friends met me there. They're like, I don't understand. How are your children eating lox?
My kids are like the mac and cheese, French fries. I hope the teachers do not judge me based on their lox. Because... And yeah. I love healthy food, but you know, there is only so much I can do.
I think I like mac and cheese more than my children, to be honest.
That's so funny. Do you have a favorite life hack? And that could be anything that makes your life easier. A gadget, a habit. Like one interviewee said, she wakes up earlier to make your kids' bottles. Mine is I tackle the hardest thing first thing in the morning.
Oh, wow. That's a good
one. Yeah, I put a timer on and I force myself to just do it. Oh, but wow. Anything well, that...
One thing that I'm working on right now, like the past 2 weeks, so I don't know how successful it is because 2 weeks is not much to show for it. But in the morning, I put away my phone.
Okay.
So that I have to just like do everything that I, for my kids, like I'll wake up before them and I'll like start getting breakfast ready. Because once I start on my phone, like my emails, my messages, my texts, like literally it'll be 4 hours and like my kids miss the bus and like things are flying.
Right.
Things aren't happening, you know, completely out of whack. So I just put away my phone. And then once they're on the bus, I take my phone out.
That's a good one. We should all be doing that one. That's the truth. Yeah. I'd be a lot calmer in the morning if I was not near my phone.
Also, yeah, like you start getting stressed about your day and you're not within the moment. So I feel like life was easier when we didn't have our phones like we have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In a different way, right? So it's, yeah. You give up something, but you gain something. So it's definitely a balance. Do you have a favorite go-to outfit?
Yeah. So my most favorite, I mean, I have like a million of them, but they're just like a sweater dress and jeans. It's just like, I feel comfortable. I feel like I look cute. It's easy. It's always there.
Right. And you're on your feet. You travel a lot, right?
I'm more of a casual dresser. I mean, obviously I dress up and I'll wear heels. But I feel most comfortable in casual clothing.
Right.
I'm into it that it should be cute, but like super casual is my go-to.
Yeah. No, you have a great sense of style. I love it. I check it on Instagram. It's super fun. So, you know, I know you travel a lot. This might be a hard question, but do you have a favorite city?
I do have a favorite city, right? I mean, it's so hard because I have a lot of favorite. I love to travel. And like the world to me is just like truly my inspiration where I get so much of my happiness from.
Right.
Or the people around, you know, the world. But so it's hard because like I have a few for different reasons. But I will say that I truly love London. London is like just so much energy and so much. The people are always so happy.
It's one of my favorite cities.
I just love it. Even though people are like, oh, English people, they're so gloomy. And there's just something about the energy in London that I love. But I will also add that Capri in Italy is just magical. And I just, any city really in Italy where I've been to, I just had this like sense of like happiness from within that I've never really had anywhere else. Because usually people are my energy. But Italy, specifically Capri, was... where I just was like, oh my God, like people don't matter here. Like, I just love this city.
Yes. It's like the real La Dolce Vita, you know, you take advantage of it.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
I have a funny story of Capri. We went when I was pregnant with my first and I had terrible varicose veins. And I'm someone who likes to dress up and I like fashion, but it was a total out of body experience of being on one of the most glamorous islands and everyone is looking gorgeous. And I had on support stockings, and in those days they came in one color. That was it. There was nothing else. And I was in so much pain that my doctor made me wear sneakers. And I just had this out of body experience of I don't even recognize myself.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Very humbling experience, especially in Capri, let me tell you.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine. And you know, it really shows like what we go through, like as being a mother. And like, I feel like women are incredible, you know, the changes that our bodies go through. But that's so funny.
Yeah, I look back at those pictures and I laugh.
Those feelings.
Wow. I said, one day I got to go back when I could just wear sandals and, you know, just be me.
Yes, my dream right now is that one day I will, when I get remarried, I want it to be there.
Oh, yes. So. Beautiful. That's a great idea. Oh, for sure. Just there's something in the air there that's magical.
So true. Yeah,
there really is. Do you have a favorite lipstick shade or beauty product, something that's like your go-to?
So like my makeup situation takes 5 minutes in the morning. I think it's 5 products between BB cream, concealer, mascara, eyeliner, and eyeshadow. And so my lipstick, like I'll wear in general, like I'll get into something and I won't change those things until like 6 months later. Like I'll wear the same thing every day for like 6 months. So right now the current lipstick, I don't know what it's called, but it's like a maroon purple.
Oh, nice.
And I'll put it on in the morning and I won't put like, that's it. I'm very, very kind of low key about that.
But most moms have to be, you know?
Yeah. But right now that's my shade. In the summer, I love like hot pink and, you know, when I have my tan. Right now, hot pink will not look good.
I sometimes do my makeup like in the car, like while I'm waiting for kids to come into my car for carpool. Oh, yeah. Don't judge me. Come in the car. Hi, good morning. I'm just doing my mascara.
That's so funny. Yeah, I've done that too.
Do what you got to do, you know?
Carpool every day.
So I do it twice a week. So that's good. But yeah, in LA, it's a lot of driving. So
There's a lot of traffic there too.
Traffic. Hence the podcasts and the coffee in the car and, you know.
Yeah, that's great that you're using. And I feel like that's so important in terms of business.
Yes.
So, like, use whatever, you know, things that you are things that you love or things that like work for you and create it into, you know, something that other women would enjoy. I think that's really where most successful businesses come from.
Yes. Yes. That's my hope. And I'm really excited. So
I love this. I love what you're doing and I'm so happy to be a part of it. Honestly.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I have one last question for you. Sure. Do you have a favorite girl boss or role model? And it could be a couple.
Yes. So I do. I love a few of them. I mean, I have a lot. One particular one that comes to mind is Joyce Azria. In California.
She was in LA, yes.
Yeah. She's just amazing because I feel like she has this like huge sense of gratitude and humbleness, along with her incredible fierceness and like ambition. And like that combination is truly inspiring for me because I think that's it's like engaging with your audience as well as just still, you know, being, you know, assertive and doing what's necessary, not being a pushover, but at the same time, you know, just like kind confidence, which I think is really a remarkable trait.
Yes, yes. She really has that combination of being down to earth and incredibly talented and ambitious at the same time.
Exactly. So I love that. I connect with that.
So Zelda, can you tell listeners where they can find you?
Sure. Well, you can find me on Instagram, Zelda Hair.
Okay.
You're
very active on Instagram. That's really where it's at, people.
Yeah, that really is. And I mean, you could find me on also. I have a personal Instagram as well.
Okay.
That's more like I have to accept you and things like that. But it's Zeldy, Z-E-L-D-Y-Y. Mm-hmm. Zelda is open to everybody.
Okay.
But I'm definitely on Instagram, and I'm always happy to engage with anybody who sends me messages.
Yeah, you are really good about it, I have to say. For all you have a lot of followers and you are on top of it.
Thank you. I really do feel like engagement is key, and also I really do love it. So it's easy, you know, when you like that interaction and connection. So.
Sure. Well, Zelda, thank you so much for joining us today. This was such a fun conversation and I can't wait to share with everyone.
Thank you. And I'm excited to see what you do with this.
Yes. Yes. I'll keep you posted. Yes. Thank you so much for listening in on our thoughtful, authentic conversation today. Stay tuned for next week's episode and make it a great one.